Very good. I hope that this can be very informal. Good group, and I hope we'll have an opportunity, we will have an opportunity for questions. I asked the group, well, what is the usual format and how long should I speak? I was told, oh, 40-45 minutes. That's the academic way. I'm kind of used to the 15 minutes in questions way, but hopefully we can merge those two and have a great conversation today. Let me start by saying that I am the relatively new executive director of the Wisconsin Academy. I've been with the Academy just about almost 7 months now. I spent, as Miller said, about 12 years working with the UW system and in and out of other government and non-government related jobs before that, primarily related to public policy of one sort or public affairs of one sort or another, and had the fun of being elected to the state legislature back in the 80s and spending 3 terms in the state assembly. So what is the Wisconsin Academy, and why was I interested in coming to join the Academy, and where is it going from here, and what role would we like you to play in it? I think it's what we really would like to discuss today. The Wisconsin Academy is located very near you, just kind of straight through across University Avenue, 1922 University Avenue. And it began back in 1870. And actually, Miller, in my little folder, what did I do with that? I have the original 1870 publication where the Academy was formed by a representative of the university at that time. What did I do with that folder? Oh, I brought it up here. That's why you can't find it. Here it is. Which is really interesting every once in a while, looking back at our history. The current logo of the Wisconsin Academy carries through the original founding fathers, and they were our fathers at the time, of the Academy. The rays represent of the logo the 72 Wisconsin counties. And it's our son, you know, your son. We're connecting people and ideas to create a better state and a better state of mind. And it's a kind of caring circle with kind of a curious circumference. And we really invite people to a round table of community. And we hope we shine light on a better state, bringing best and brightest ways to making our state a better place and making the world a better place. So we think it's an illuminating place, drawing ideas in and radiating ideas out. And we rise to the challenge of exploring problems, we hope, by reconnecting and including all voices in our conversations. And you'll hear that kind of repeated in our 4 core programs as we move forward. But today we hope that you will catch some of these rays and join us as we move forward and as the original founders of the Wisconsin Academy did. The original founder was, there's our Connecting People and Ideas for a Better Wisconsin mission. And the original founder was John Wesley Hoyt, a medical doctor, a scholar, and an educator. He started out as governor of the Wyoming Territory and later as president of the University of Wyoming, but spent most of his time here in Wisconsin. And although was elected the first president of the Wisconsin Academy, wasn't certainly the sole person. There were lots of governors and senators and the leading scientists and thinkers of the day who got together and decided, hey, we need to all get together and share these ideas together so that we can all be better at what we do and make the state a better place. So what are the activities of the Wisconsin Academy? There are 4 main programs, a quarterly magazine. You'll see a couple of copies of those at the back. You're welcome to grab them and take one and look at them or become a member, and then you get 4 of them a year. It's called People and Ideas. It was originally called the Wisconsin Academy Review and went through a little revamp about 5 years ago, and it's really the only magazine in Wisconsin that's devoted to Wisconsin history and culture and the people behind them. And so we're kind of proud of that in these days when so many other publications are kind of going by the wayside. We also have several art galleries, the James Watrous Gallery in the Overture Center in Madison here, and in our building on 1922 University Avenue is the Steenbach Gallery. As I talk a little bit about the history, Professor Steenbach, who you all know of university fame, also was an Academy member and leader, and donated probably about $1 million to an endowment at one time, and the gallery space in our building is named after him. In addition to the magazine and the art galleries, we have a lecture series every year at the Overture Center, and we try to take those lectures out and about the state. And the final one of our four core programs is the Wisconsin Idea at the Wisconsin Academy. And I'm going to turn a little later to Miller, who's going to talk a little bit more about that. You've seen maybe the book in the back called Future of Farming, which is the current release in terms of our focus. It's a public policy project that tries to, again, bring all the voices to the table, collect ideas for influencing education and legislation, and putting out those recommendations, and based on who was involved in the beginning, an expectation that those groups take those recommendations back and implement them. So the art galleries was the first thing on our list there. In the back you'll see the current exhibit is an Aaron Bowrod exhibit. Many of you might know that Aaron Bowrod was the artist in residence located here on the campus, right next to Babcock Hall. It's where he called home for probably 20 years and was a very prolific artist, and I think you'll all enjoy very much that exhibit that is there. We always try to combine our exhibits with artists or curators who are familiar with the artists that can talk about their work and share insights. You'll find that Aaron Bowrod inserts himself very interestingly in almost all of his photographs. You'll see his reflection in things like some of the bowls, the glasses, as little figures. So if you get to go up and see that exhibit in Overture, you'll find it very interesting. He was very much a realist painter, but as you might imagine, during the period that he did artwork in, there was a real modernistic influence that went on, and he poked a lot of fun at it. Like the board in the back of this one on the right looks as if it is a real board that he has put these things up on, but he imitates very carefully the exact nature of the roughness of the board, so it looks like a real board, but it's not. And so he deceives you. He is most notable or known for some of his earlier work nationwide, and about halfway through his career he completely switched to these still life type things that are on the far right, and did about 13 covers of Time magazine, and many of those are on display, so it's really quite interesting. A number of the other major Wisconsin artists that we have shown are along the bottom. This is a picture of the James Watrous Gallery at night. It's just a real gem. It's kind of tucked away there on the third floor. Kind of, we call it our home under the dome. So we hope you'll get a chance to stop by. This is an opening reception. And you can see it does and can get kind of crowded in there. Sometimes it's great to come here, the opening artists, but it's nice to sneak back and often look at the art when it isn't quite so busy. Here's another artist. We often partner with other groups. We partner with the Wisconsin Arts Board, and there'll be another one this spring that is the Wisconsin Visual Arts Fellows, so those that receive fellowship awards will display this spring. The other thing we try to do is to be the place where the arts and the sciences and the letters kind of come together. And we talked a little earlier about our Lake Cup policy project in the future of farming and rural life. What we did then is coordinated our gallery exhibit last spring with a statewide conference that brought people into Madison so people could experience the work of David Lenz, among other artists and photographers, Jeff Jones, Lindemann, and others in the gallery, to kind of coordinate all of these things together, because science enhances arts and arts enhances sciences. They're peering so carefully at this because these David Lenz photographs, I don't know if you've had a chance to see them, are so realistic that people think they're photographs. And I think that's why they're peering so closely at them. David Lenz, you might know, won the National Portrait Gallery competition earlier this year for a painting he did of his son, and has now been asked to paint Kennedy's photograph as the founder of the Special Olympics nationally for the National Gallery. And so right here in Milwaukee, or North Milwaukee, where he is now, Wisconsin is again on the map nationally, which is very exciting. One of the other things that the gallery tries to do is to make these things accessible, art accessible to children and the next generation of artists. And here they are coordinating with some programming with the Children's Museum. The children came and tried on some of these masks made by Jeremy Wolfe, which are done out of mostly paper, really paper mache. The sculptures he does look very solid, as if they could be out of granite, but they're really done out of paper. And he's done some masks that the children can interact with, and then they went across the street to the Madison Children's Museum to make some sculptures of their own. And we do now accompany all of our exhibits with a children's or families guide, which just includes questions that you can ask your children or about the exhibit to try to get them to think about the art in some different ways. And I think it's a fortunate for us, a very generous donor gave us some additional resources in order to do that this year. We talked a little bit about Wisconsin People and Ideas magazine. You probably recognize a lot of the cover photos, sometimes artists, sometimes great scientists like Sean Carroll or others. The Academy Evening Lectures. This fall we did a series on immigration issues. Each year we try to do one lecture series in the fall and then do kind of single lectures throughout the spring. We try to pick the topics that our members and the public are most interested in. The year before we did a series, and I don't think we missed that one, Miller, on the Middle East that Joe Elder led off, and it was just very well received. Several thousand attendees. This one was down a little bit. We were competing a little bit with Ken Burns on the Civil War the last two evenings, and it was unfortunate because we had some of our national speakers in that day. But we like to try to, you know, frame it from a national level, but see how we can act locally and understand what's happening locally. Other Academy evenings this fall, also Charles Sherburn here in California. It was just who of the biotech community, I think, in the audience that night. And Sean Carroll did just a fabulous job just a few weeks ago. Coming up February 19th, the night of the primary elections in Wisconsin, so vote early and then come talk about it. We're talking about democracy in Wisconsin and how we should be cleaning up our act. And you'll hear some perspectives from, you know, Joel Rogers and Bill Krause and Brady Williamson. And then there are a couple of others this spring. There continues to be, at least among the survey work that we do, an interest in closing the achievement gap between whites and non-whites. And I think we're going to get a good some good perspective from Gloria Ladson Billings on that topic and how we do improve education. You're, I'm sure, very familiar with Salinger's work as well as everybody see Robert Enright's the article in the Wall Street Journal Sentinel this weekend, Robert Enright's work on forgiveness. So I think we are getting a lot of the very current topics. We want and are always looking for the very best presenters as well as the best research that we can share with the public. So if you have ideas about that, I've got a little card I want to pass around before we all leave where maybe you can share the very best speakers and the best information that you think we should be sharing with the public as part of our mission, and so we hope that you'll help us make sure that we continue to be able to offer these opportunities for people to interact personally with Wisconsin's best thinkers. The Wisconsin Idea at the Wisconsin Academy, I'm going to turn over here to Miller to talk a bit about these projects that we do about every 2 years, and we're just at the point of thinking about now what we do next, and I know Miller will be looking for your input on that as well. So, Miller, step up to the plate here.
I should tell you, by the way, maybe Mark is planning to tell you again, but the Wisconsin Academy is an open membership organization. People tend to think that the Wisconsin Academy is an organization that elects people to membership, but in fact, anybody can join the Wisconsin Academy by paying a small annual dues and become a subscriber to the terrific magazines published by the Academy and participate in the rest of our programs. And I encourage you all to consider doing that if you haven't done it yet. It's a good organization. So I want to talk about the Wisconsin Idea at the Academy. The Wisconsin Academy has addressed a number of important issues having to do with public policy, often issues that have a scientific component, trying to bring together people with expertise from all possible areas, industry, government, the university, public schools, advocacy groups, the general public, anybody who's a stakeholder in the in these problems is invited to come to the table to participate in consideration of a definition of what the problems are in the state of Wisconsin and a joint effort to try to find solutions. The Academy has been a neutral convener. We've done everything we could to bring together as many people as possible to talk about issues and to maintain a civil environment in which people with quite different ideas and talk to one another and try to discover areas in which they have common goals and might be able to form partnerships and work together. And in fact, that's happened. So let me tell you a little bit about the Wisconsin Idea projects that we've done. This is a typical structure of one of the Wisconsin Idea projects that the Academy. Usually the idea is for study is selected by a group of people we bring together to a table or a large group representing broad interests, and we talk about what's going on now what are the public issues in Wisconsin that we think deserve attention at the moment. And then we go out and try to find a leadership team of two or three people who are prominent in the area that we've selected. And we try to get enough money, this is a resources issue, to hire a support staff, a coordinator, editor, a clerical staff, to support the leadership team. And then, with the help of the leadership team, identify a steering committee that comes from all of these various areas that are listed here, industry, government, and so forth, and that come from all around the state. These are statewide projects. We're interested in getting input from all corners of the state. The steering committee usually creates a number of subcommittees to run studies of specialized areas. Once they've defined the scope of the project and they've identified the specific questions that they want to have addressed during the course of the study. And then we arrange, with the help of the coordinator and the clerical staff, we arrange forums that are held throughout the state over the course of a period of about a year or two. These typically draw participants from, again, all stakeholder groups, and attendance is on the order of 100 to 200 people at these work forums. So there's they're full-day discussions of issues in which the participants are encouraged to express ideas openly and vigorously. Ideas are gathered by the steering committee, by the leaders of the study, and compiled to set the agenda for a final wind-up symposium, which the past two big studies that the academy has run have attracted 400 to 600 participants from throughout the state. And that forum goes on for usually a period of 2 or 3 days. And then on the basis of agreements that have been arrived at this big final forum, our editorial staff prepares a final report to be published, and then after that, we consider that to be just the launching of the project. After that, we hope that participants and government and the university and so forth will continue projects that have been spawned during this major exercise. And in fact, that's what's happened. The big Wisconsin Idea projects that the Wisconsin Academy has run over the past few years have generated follow-up activities that are continuing today. The current project, or the project just completed and just launching all its follow-up activities, was called The Future of Farming and Rural Life in Wisconsin, and occupied a period of about 2 years. It was run by Tom Lyons, who used to be the president of the Board of Regents of the University, and Stan Grushinski, once a state legislator, now a leader of an agricultural program at Stevens Point, and as I said, a large steering committee. There were six forums around the state, big meeting here in Madison to address the future of farming, and we have produced 83 recommendations to be considered for follow-up activities in addressing the important questions that grew out of that study. These are pictures that were taken from the forums that took place around the state, just to show you the size of the audience that participated here, and to show you the range of interesting activities that were associated with this forum. I wanted to show you somewhat bigger pictures of the Landis paintings that were at the Wisconsin Academy Gallery, the Watrous Gallery at the Overture Center. These are just spectacular things, and I thought it was worth looking at them somewhat more detail. These are, as Margaret said, look very much like photographs. It takes Landis something on the order of a year to produce one of these paintings, and they're really wonderful character studies, and most generally they are pictures of rural life. This was just a delightful art exhibit to have in conjunction with the forum on the future of farming. The previous study, begun about 5 years ago, was on waters in Wisconsin. It produced two reports. We have, I think, examples of that.
You know, I don't think the waters is with us, although I have many copies at the office, so if anybody is interested.
Anyway, if you're a water fan.
Those could be available for free.
Reports on the waters of Wisconsin study, which had exactly the same sort of format, and which has generated enthusiastic follow-up activities.
Well, the waters report, I know, resulted in probably one of the most, well, the groundwater legislation that is a model for the nation now, and resulted in some very specific changes in environmental education that are implemented, and a number of changes at DNR in terms of how there are different, how different things are monitored, and the progress going forward being able to be benchmarked in it. In a much better way. So we have high hopes for the next one as well.
So now the question is, what should we do next? And that's why we wanted an opportunity to talk to all of you here. We have had several discussions amongst groups of people, and they've identified this issue as being one that is a hot issue nationally and one that is important to the state of Wisconsin. The issue being science, technology, engineering, and math education. This report, Rising Above the Gathering Storm, was recently completed by the National Academies of Science. And the National Academy of Engineering and the Institute of Medicine. And it contains a number of recommendations for maintaining competitiveness in the United States at a time when the economy of the world is becoming increasingly competitive, and globalization has begun to frighten American industry. What do we need to do in order to remain competitive in a world in which whenever tests are reported in newspapers, it turns out that American students are abysmally below those of many other countries in understanding science and mathematics? So where do we go? It doesn't appear that no child left behind is solving the problem all by itself.
I recommend more testing.
There must be other approaches that are necessary, appropriate. So we have had a committee of members of our council that felt that this was an important issue and that it might be an exciting problem to address as the next big Wisconsin IDEA project that we have. There are lots of people thinking about this, but the Academy can bring together all of those people and let them exchange ideas, people from industry and the university and public schools and so forth, who don't always talk to one another, and even pairwise, much less as a group of everybody interested.
Have you decided to do this, or are you considering?
Well, we're still considering.
And what are you competing? What are your competing ideas?
Well, the only competing ideas that came up were economic development in Wisconsin, the changing demographics of Wisconsin, immigration issue on a local scale.
Healthcare and energy issues come up periodically. We're open to other
ideas. So here's a group of people that we called together, all of whom participated in the lengthy discussion of what we might do next. People from
Silvera, who works at Promega and is a member of the Madison School Board. Mark Ewer, who's the director of University Research Park. Alan Vines, who is in the Office of Corporate Relations for the University. Kathleen Ryan. Deborah Mahaffey, who comes from the Superintendent's Office of the Department of Public Instruction, and so forth. So we have representatives from Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce. Noel is participating in these discussions. Everybody on that list and several other people that we discussed that just didn't fit on the slide expressed enthusiasm for this idea. Now the question is, where do we go from here? And that's why I'll stop shortly and ask you for your ideas. Where do we go from here? We need leaders. We have asked a number of people on that list that I just showed you if they'd be interested in leading a project of this sort. They're all very enthusiastic about having the Academy run such a project, but they are not enthusiastic about the idea of being leaders. So if you have thoughts about who might be leaders, we'd like to hear them. We're willing to twist the arms, but we're looking for people that you think might be willing to twist these. We need funding for staff, and we think that we have to find leaders of the project first before we start going to foundations and university deans and so forth, trying to scrounge up money and to industry, because the people who are going to lead the project give the project credibility. We need steering committee members, set volunteers. We wonder whether we need an overarching theme for this project, or whether just science and technology education is good enough. For example, it's been suggested that this might be done under the general umbrella of competitiveness, economic competitiveness, or even energy development. So, I'm going to stop talking and ask you what you think.
How have the previous studies been funded?
They've been funded by gift and grant funds, largely from industry. So, for example, Future Funding was funded partly by the Department of Agriculture and so forth, and consumer protection.
The last project raised and spent about $460,000, primarily agricultural groups, but generous individuals also, as you say, Department of Commerce and Department of Ag were the funders, and there was a lot of diversity.
Agribusiness groups.
Yes.
Cheese manufacturers and so forth.
Food producers, distributors. It was really a great project, and one that we were really interested in seeing because it was the first one that really kind of sat on its own bottom. A lot of the remainder of the Steenbach fund was used to fund the Waters of Wisconsin project.
Although that raised a significant gift and grant money as well, so and everybody is enthusiastic about protecting waters.
Is it appropriate to mention a whole different idea, or would that get us in the way here with all the people in science and technology who you maybe want to wrestle into this?
We're always open to ideas.
We're always open to ideas, because if it doesn't become a Wisconsin Academy project, it could still become part of a lecture series, or it could be a magazine article or series. So if I could just, I want to hear what you have to say, but if I could also just pass these cards along, if you would like to be on or receive the electronic newsletter of the Wisconsin Academy, put your email address on there, but also feel free to fill it out and suggest whatever ideas that you might on the back, or future speakers, topics, Wisconsin ideas.
So, an education idea, and the way I would describe it is local learning partnerships. When I look at K-12 and also university, I see the politicizing, which leads to so many, I mean, if we talk about it as issues, the ways in which the university has less and less support, and rural schools, inner city schools feel really threatened for resources. One way to come at that, I think, is to go back to the old Wisconsin idea itself, which is that the education serves the community, and the community serves education. And there are lovely examples of that. I mean, one could give examples of an urban school, a new charter school that does expeditionary learning in Milwaukee. One can give examples of rural schools that are engaged in this. One can give many examples from the University of Wisconsin. But I think that we are beginning to disconnect, and the more we talk about the ideas of education, the farther apart sometimes we're getting. And if instead we could find ways to figure out how we have disconnected our communities from our learning partnerships, that energy actually can flow back in the opposite direction. I wasn't even going to come to the meeting today, but I just talked with Ricky Rolfsmeyer this morning, a president of the Pecatonica School of Education. He's saying, you know, our school is threatened, just our survival. And we were talking about place-based learning, which is in an older environment was the norm. Today we talk about it and it's sort of like, what are we even talking about? And so I don't mean just the sharing of ideas about education, but a practice in which the learning itself is a collaborative process of people working together. It could be science and technology, but I'm interested in that being open and in communities really experiencing a sense of partnerships. But that'll be all.
Thanks. Ron.
There are a couple of initiatives that are happening in which this is running in parallel. And I'm just kind of wondering about what the relationships are, if there's a potential for the relationship. The first is obviously the Wisconsin Idea Project, and I saw Peyton Smith's name on that list, so there is, at least that individual is connected. But I know that Catherine Kramer Walsh is working on a Badger poll. She's gone around the state talking to citizens about what they feel are the greatest concerns of the state. What is it that Madison is doing well? What could it be doing better? And then on another track is the Wisconsin Way program, which is a strange partnership of the Wisconsin Counties Association, WEAC, and I think the Wisconsin Realtors. Yeah, and they're going around the state and they're having listening sessions talking about that. And it just seems like there's a lot of this energy and inertia going into what's happening in the state, and I'm wondering if there's a point at which it might come together, people using each other, what each other has learned, to come up with this possible idea. And just as the questions were put up there, do we need an overarching theme? I know that one thing that's common among all those groups is this idea of brain drain within the state. You know, our best and brightest leaving for jobs elsewhere, and the concern that we can't be a strong economic state without having those people in place who can lead us forward. So just, I guess I was curious about whether or not these groups are talking, and you know what might be the future for that.
And before I answer that, there's a eager voice
of looking at brain drain, because as I look at the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics education, I'm thinking where is there room for arts? Where is there room for humanities within that, other than as reactionary commentary to it? But brain drain allows us to have a more holistic examination of issues, because there is such a thing as a creative economy. And one of the things that keeps people in a place is the desirability of that place. And so it's one way to look not just at the education we need to be competitive in globalization, but also what makes it a place where people want to be. So I love having that phrase.
So many people have said, instead of just looking at STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, add the arts in there and say STEAM instead of STEM, and then we got it all because we get that place, and including the creative economy in the competitiveness kind of a circle. But to answer your question about what are we doing in terms of trying to keep or to make sure we're talking to each other, I think that's part of what's going on right now is how is it that we, I mean, one of the things that we want to do in these Wisconsin ideas, the Wisconsin Academy projects, is make sure we're not duplicating something that's going on already or doing something, you know, that somebody's already doing. And there are some initiatives that are going on in this STEM area, the technical colleges, the value system schools, the K-12 schools, the Kern Family Foundation is with their project LEAD. The question, I think, that keeps coming up is, are they all talking together? And one of the things the Academy has a track record and an ability to do is maybe to be an outside third-party independent convener with some respect that might be able to bring everyone together so that there is kind of a seamless approach to things. And I think the governor's office is also, I've heard, begun looking and thinking about maybe a governor's commission in this regard. And so we need to try to, you know, make sure we do, you know, are useful. and I think there really is some excitement, but it makes no sense for people to each be doing their things in all kinds of different ways and not be coordinated and not be thinking about, you know, how does this address our overall problem. And certainly it isn't just the generation of the technology educated people we need, it's also the keeping of them here in Wisconsin, so it has to be hand in glove. Okay. Yes.
If you decide to go with this, especially with the broader issues of innovation, ingenuity, enterprise, I think a really good resource to consider is the folks at Discovery World Museum in Milwaukee. I think more than any other science museum, they get it. And when you go to their website, what you see is a bunch of people, pictures of people that you almost never see at other science museum websites. They're targeting 16-year-olds to 29-year-olds because they're the generation that's going to invent the future. And I think for a place where you could start, instead of saying, what are we going to do about test scores, what are we going to do about innovation and ingenuity and enterprise and the idea of an engine of innovation, I think they would be very helpful people. We can get mired, I think, in test scores and that kind of thing, and it won't necessarily help us at all with the larger issue of creativity and ingenuity. And those folks, I think, at Discovery World, and there's lots of other people around the state also, if you can reframe this, I think that'd be great. I've always, when this first came out, I was really impressed that the National Academy couldn't decide whether they were going to be Winston Churchill or Tom Clancy, and so they just decided to be both. And then some of the rebuttals about this have given an alternative view as to how pressing this is or is not, and should the United States of 300 million people be comparing itself to Finland or Singapore, and what that means. I think taking a Wisconsin point of view on that would be very helpful. I'd encourage you to do that, especially in light of the new Constellation buildings, because that allows us to ask, what can we do to welcome people from all over the state to come here, and what can we do using those new buildings to connect better to places all over the state? I think that's where the common ground is between what we're trying to do and what the Academy has been trying to do. We have a lot of things that are similar that way. And if you decide to go that route, I think it'd be very interesting for a number of people Madison campus who might be delighted to help with that. One other thing is the UW Systems official youth development agency, otherwise known as Wisconsin 4-H, has just launched a science, engineering, and technology initiative. I think that if you do put go with this approach that would give you the resources of connecting with the statewide resources of Wisconsin 4-H, including their alumni, which is a pretty formidable set of people, and could help you reach to grow audiences in a way that other places might not be able to help so much.
Good suggestion, thanks. Yeah,
thank you. One is a direct potential answer to people person here looking for on this, and I think we're all aware of the fact that a pretty potentially important person might be looking for a job in about 9 months. Yes. He'd be perfect, I think. Another
yes.
We better go have a chat.
I think you better go. He's gonna be now's the time to go.
I'd give him at least a month off, I think.
Well, yeah, you can negotiate.
That's a really terrific idea.
This is taking a slightly different tack from what you got there, and these may be more ideas that might, there are questions that might generate future thinking. One of them is revisiting, and I say revisiting because I don't know whether the Academy has visited it in depth in its history, the notion or the question of who are we in Wisconsin? And that relates to diversity, ethnicity, origins, and so on. And many, many years ago, in the 30s and the 20s and 30s, there was a very strong set of publications who identified who we were. Folks, there's lots of stuff about who we were because there was a second or first generation still here. But the pot, the melting pot is melting, and it would be interesting to examine that in some depth and explore the derivative as a state. So a derivative of that would be another sort of larger issue, which I think is timely, but I wouldn't know how to approach it. But it really raises the question, what does it mean today to think and act globally, and yet act and think globally? That's the relationship between local and locally global thinking. That is kind of a broader expansion of the Wisconsin idea, if you look at it that way, but we're sort of now in a period where the borders are certainly not Wisconsin. And, you know, we know all that, but what does it really mean to be potentially interesting from many different perspectives, both manufacturing, both intellectual property, both intellectual, you know, the whole big story.
Thank you. Any other questions, ideas?
Just a real practical subtopic is the whole QEO funding of K-12 education issues that I think everybody would agree it's the worst of all evils, or is it functioning? And we had an outside look at it that is devoid of politics and is devoid of our property tax bill discussion all the time. It's been around about 10 or 12 or 14 years now, and it's like, is it working? Mm-hmm. It's still in place, and school districts will say it's not working. Mm-hmm. They're getting caught between a rock and a hard place.
It's better than getting caught between a rock and a rock.
Yeah.
So are you asking, Kevin, a broader question is there another better system?
And that could even extend into higher education. We keep losing that war, it seems, of PR.
Yeah. I do hear that. Kathleen Fox, and I said, okay, what do you think of next Wisconsin idea? That was the first thing that came to her mind. And there have been several of these pretty high-level commissions on this topic, and they do their work in it.
They have their agenda, though, with their work. Has anybody neutrally looked at it, which the Kevin could offer, which would be good. And then John Wiley with the higher education funding would be perfect for that aspect, too.
Well, we have so many questions, John. We've got to let him know. Jay, thank you.
Just one thing I've come aware of recently, but my background's in education, teaching people how to run schools and colleges for a long time. And about a week ago, I was in a conversation with some business people, and they were railing at education, you know, because nobody wants to study science and math.
the way they were expressing it was education should fix it, you know, schools should fix it. But as I was thinking about it, you know, what, you know, motivating people to study science or math or anything else, you know, motivating people just to like study, kids, what are they competing against, and where is that voice coming from? And the answer bubbles up is entertainment. You know, I've got close to home, I've two grandsons I spent a lot of time with, and one wants to be a drummer, and the other one wants to be an NHL hockey player. And as much as I try to, you know, get them interested in something more substantial, you know, that how can you compete with that? So somehow, I think in all this, you know, how do you get more out of schools? And the whole future, the statistics on the educational attainment of our future workforce are dismal, you know, unless something happens. But how do you interact with this big competitor? A guy I very much admire, Devin Harris, of the basketball team, loved watching him, great, cheers career, but he's the highest paid graduate of the university in recent years. He just renewed his 5-year contract for $40 million. You know, these are the images that we have to combat if we're trying to, you know, get people interested in something else.
Well, one of the things that our time is up.
Go on, and there's another group here that's got it reserved at noon, so if you'd like to wrap up. And
thank you all. I really want to say is thank you all for coming. Please feel free to take a membership brochure in the back and come visit our website. It's just thewisconsinacademy.org, all spelled out, wisconsinacademy.org. And there's information about membership, about programs. But we hope we'll see you at some of our future events.
Have a great night.